Ever feel like your business is your sugar daddy? Yeah, you technically make the money, but somehow you're still broke, stressed, and wondering where it all goes. In today's episode, I sit down with none other than Profit First legend Mike Michalowicz to talk about the real reason entrepreneurs stay stuck in financial quicksand, personally and professionally. And trust me, it's not because you're bad at math. It's because we're all wired for money, just not in the way we've been taught to manage it. Mike's philosophy on money has flipped my own financial script. And if you stick around, it just might do the same for you.
Welcome to the Buzzworthy Marketing Podcast. Here's your host, Michael Baczynski.
Welcome to the show, Michael. How is you doing today?
I'm doing great. And Mike, congratulations on your move to Virginia.
Thanks.
The land of lovers.
The land of lovers. Yes. I saw that. I was like, yes, that's fun. And you know what? The funny thing is that Virginians are, they're very friendly people.
Yeah.
And it is amazing how, even though we do have I have a client that's up in the DC area, in the Alexandria area. And so when I drive up there, it's much different than down here in the Richmond area around the Capitol. There's a lot of country around the city, so it doesn't take a long time to get out of the sprawl, which is, I definitely love. So we're not as cool as the Garden State, but
I think Virginia is my favorite state. You got ocean, you got mountains and everything in between.
Oh, yes.
You and have I'm cities, you got rural. It's such a great country.
Yeah. We've already done like a cabin up towards the Blue Ridge Mountains. And we've had snow. We were not expecting snow this close to the ocean. So, we had a couple of weeks of everybody on the East Coast had a couple of weeks of really frigid stuff. But with all that said, I want to dive in and talk about this. So for the listeners who don't know, I actually ran across, I came to know Michael or Mike through his book, Profit First. And it came at a pivotal time when I was really struggling with my personal and business finances. I was running a multi-million dollar a marketing agency, a creative agency in Anchorage, Alaska. And I thought I had everything except for profit. And I wasn't paying myself well. And I was leveraging debt the way that people say you're supposed to leverage debt. And I was reinvesting in the company over and over again and never really paying myself. And what, Mike, I always thank you for writing that book. I wish I would have read it when you first wrote it, because it would have changed the trajectory of my entrepreneur journey. But I got it in a pivotal moment when I was going from a brick and mortar to a fully virtual company, and I was reinventing how I did business. And that book helped me reinvent how I saw finance.
That's amazing.
And one of the things that you've been starting to talk about lately is how personal finance weaves itself in and needs to be congruent with your business finance.
Exactly.
And I want you to expand a little bit on that and let our viewers know like what your point of view is when it comes to that.
Yeah, I found, Mike, that business owners may crush it in their business. Hopefully Profit First is a tool that serves them. But if their home finances are struggling, they actually start leeching off the business. So even though the business is financially sound as an independent island, we have to recognize that we're like Siamese twins, or you can't say that anymore, conjoined twins. We're conjoined. And so therefore the business starts being compromised because you're not nailing it home. Now the reverse is true too. Mm. How many people started off, they've had a career, they've had that dream of starting a business and they're sound at home financially, but the business struggles and they leech off their home. So these run congruently. And a point of frustration with Profit First, we have over 1 million deployments of it globally now. We just surpassed that this past year. And
it's
so exciting. But we have so many more people struggling with it. I'm like, why are you struggling? They're like, well, I got credit card debt. And I noticed it was all their personal challenges. And the business is kind of this sugar daddy to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the business comes down. So I said, okay, we got to nail the personal finances. And the Profit First system, it's such a basic system. It's the envelope system. It's the pay yourself first system. It's about hiding the cookie jar like grandma used to do so you don't steal from yourself. I translate it as the personal finance. What I found is there are some unique differences.
Mm.
So the core system remains the same. You set up multiple accounts at your bank. Mm. You do this because it intercepts your behavior. That's where most people don't have a budget. Most people aren't running some sophisticated spreadsheet or AI system to figure out their finances. They log in their bank account and they're just determining, can I spend money today or not based upon what I have?
Right.
So we got to work with who we are. But also what I found is there is a natural wiring for us humans. And that if we try to fight our natural wiring, it will never sustain. Mm. We have to leverage it. So in this new book, I really explore that. One last thing, I said this prior to us going live. The book title is Imminent. It originally was going to be called Made for Money because we're wired for money. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with my publisher and we ran some tests. And now we identified there may be a better title. I don't know what it is yet, so I don't want to share it because I don't know.
Right. We have a working title process. It's okay.
So in the next few weeks. But if you look for like personal finance book by Mike McCallow, it's if you're willing to type in that much stuff, by the time this broadcast, the name will be identified.
And we'll have a link in the show notes for our listeners.
Oh, thanks,
so they'll be able to click right to that. We'll make sure that we make it really easy for them to access this. So what is the biggest disconnect? Because you mean you mentioned like the corporate refugees. So they're used to a paycheck, right? And
yeah.
Now they see their business as a paycheck versus a separate entity, right?
Yeah.
And I think that I've seen enough over the last 20 years of working with business owners of a lot of intermingling of corporate and personal finances,
where
they have separated their bank accounts enough. And they get themselves in trouble with like the IRS even, because it's like, well, you've commingled. Right. So what do we need to do? What are the first steps of like helping people make the differentiation of like, you have to keep them separate?
Yeah. So the first realization goes back to actually the caveman days, is to understand our natural wiring. The cave person would hunt and gather, collect, then they would store, preserve what they have. So like the caveman didn't, you know, wake up in the morning and say, hey, you know, tonight for dinner, I want a woolly mammoth steak. Let's go get. No, they would wake up and say, we need to go on the hunt and we're going to try to kill a woolly mammoth. Now, a woolly mammoth, you don't eat in one sitting. That's something that could last a month or two with proper preservation. So they make an extraordinary effort to collect a large sum, but then they preserve it because it's going to sustain them over time. So collect, preserve, and then portion was the last part. And the portioning was they would consume it in smaller quantities to sustain themselves. The problem, and that's how we're wired. We're wired to grab in large sums, then to store it and portion it. The problem is becoming with the portioning and the storage. Because you can say, yeah, I'll have a steak tonight. Hey, I'll do this. We have access to immediate gratification for anything we want, but it costs a lot.
Right.
So, you know, to have a whole cow that you cut up is a lot cheaper that you have is a lot cheaper than having a butcher cut it up for you and give you small portions. So we then leverage money that we don't have, which is credit cards and so forth. And so with this ability to get me access to small portions and digest and consume all the time, we're even whimsical. If I want this tonight, I'll have that. And if I want that tonight, I'll have that. And we're leveraging credit cards.
Right.
So we need a system that naturally puts us back in alignment with this collect in large sums, like the paycheck that comes in every 2 weeks or something, store it in a way that is preserved. So actually protect us from just consuming it or from it rotting away, and then have it come out in small portions. And when we set up a system that does that, we'll automatically adjust to live within our means. But the other thing is you can set up a cache of storage for those big wants you have. You know, I want to go out to dinner once a week with my wife and just have an amazing time and not worry about how much I'm spending. But we can set up an account that preserves that money for that purpose. We can set up an account. You know, one day I'd like to have a vacation home. I'd like to have a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains or maybe a beach house. Well, I can start preserving for that. So you need to set that up. But we also, there's another element, is we are very oriented toward immediate gratification.
Right.
So how do you set up a system that allows you to preserve for the future, but also gives you rewards in that progress so you feel the gratification even though you don't have the possession of that thing? So talking about a lot of elements, but we have to, in the end, is play back into our natural wiring, and very quickly we will adjust and live within our means, but also have the opportunity to expand and experience the elements of life that we want beyond our, you know, in the moment living.
I love all of that. And like for me, I have found that, you know, with Profit First, we're taking those dividends once a quarter, right?
Yeah.
And I've actually then taken Profit First one step further, and I have created those envelopes, if you will, with the dividend. So there is a portion that is of that dividend that is for my immediate gratification. Whatever I'm setting aside, that money right there is for the dinners, the trips, the whatever, yeah, that quarter, right? Yeah. And then there's the savings, there's the retirement investments and all the things. And maybe I'm saving up for a new vehicle, right? Because we run debt-free now. Like that was, nice. We have credit cards so that we can fly for free. That's the only thing. And it gets paid off every month.
Same.
Yeah. And you got to play those games. But I feel that, you know, it's like people might forget that it's like, you can take a little bit and that dopamine you don't need the whole thing to get the dopamine rush. Right. And so it's like, you can just take a little bit of that and treat yourself because you are paying yourself. That's one thing. So you got that shot, like, all right, I wrote that check. Right. Yeah. But now it's like, don't spend the whole thing. Like, just take a little bit of that and then put that other stuff into where you need it. It might be in a month. It might be in a year. It might be for your retirement. But doing the whole thing again seems to be like, you know, the whole Profit First. It's like, yeah, now the, I don't know, how are you describing that concept in the personal finance?
Yeah. So this is not the title, but it's, I'm explaining we're wired for wealth, and right, that's not the title.
Right.
And what I tell people is that, it's funny you mentioned dopamine. It is the most addictive drug in the world. And mm-hmm, it's a natural drug released by our mind. Mm-hmm. So we wire for the wins. And that's mm-hmm, also not the title, but wire for the wins. So how do you do this? One of the people, so we've had now about 1,200 people go through the program. We've been testing and developing it.
Okay.
One of the women, her name was Dominica, and I speak with her and she goes, listen, Mike, I love going out to dinner. And she goes, I know I can't afford it. And I regret it after the fact, but she goes, this is just my passion. So every week I go out with my boyfriend out to dinner, and every day after I'm like, how am I going to pay this? And I bring up more credit card debt. She goes, I don't know if I can give that up. And what most financial systems tell us is, well, you got to live like, you know, like a pauper to live like a prince in the future. Mm. I said, that's bull. Mm-mm. That's total bull. What we simply need to understand is what gives you the dopamine hit. So I said, walk me through your experience. She goes, well, first, me and my boyfriend pick the restaurant, and that's exciting. Okay. I'm like, dopamine hit one. Second, she goes, we drive over and we see the menu. And she goes, sometimes like, we've never been to this place and I don't like the look from the outside. We go to the other place and then we pick the place that just feels right. I'm like, okay, dopamine hit two. Mm-hmm. Then they order a fine wine, dopamine hit three. Then they get their dinner. What we realize is the dopamine is not a single event. There's a cascade or sequence of events that happens in any kind mm-hmm, of person. Mm-hmm. So I said, what if we do this? What if we do a build to this restaurant? And what we need to do to live within our means and to preserve for the future, we need to only go out to a restaurant once a month. We can do that. We want that reward. Mm-hmm. So what if week one, you and your boyfriend agree that on Saturday night, instead of going to a restaurant, you're going to spend an hour together, just the two of you, evaluating restaurants, almost being critiques, making it into a presentation. Mm-hmm. That'll be your dopamine hit one. On week two, you're going to take your car and you're going to drive these places. You're going to take pictures and you're going to evaluate which place you like the most. Week three, you're going to pick the wine from their menus online of the wine that you've never sampled before that you want. And week four, we're going to experience it. And then week five, there's a week five. We're actually going to write a little post of a debrief because you're now a restaurant critic. So what we did is we took this one perceived singular event, but we broke into all the dopamine hits throughout. Well, months into this, she's like, this is actually more fun than we've had before. There's this building anticipation reward. We're saving money. We still reward ourselves with the restaurant out, but we don't do it as frequently. And the money we've saved, they've reduced their credit card. Actually, they've eradicated their credit card now. Yeah. And now they're saving one day to own a restaurant because that's actually their biggest dream. Ooh. And that may be years or a decade away, right, but now they see that coming through. What we did was we set up accounts. So they have an account. It says dinner out.
Right.
And they're allocating money to that account every week. And when it gets to their threshold, they like to spend big. It's $250 for the two of them out.
Right.
Once he gets that threshold at the end of the month or the cycle, they know the funds are there. We can act on it. Right. But they also see their future restaurant account adding up. And yeah, right now it has like $3,000 in it. And you ain't going to start a restaurant for $3,000 in most cases.
Right.
But they're closer to the dream. Right. And they're giving themselves dopamine hits throughout.
Right. And they're going to find ways to increase that as they start seeing that money go there. But just in what you were talking, lining out, like you just decreased the cost of going out by 80% because you're only going out once every 5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We decreased the cost.
And they're going to, if they started using that critiquing, so their critique and putting and start posting that, they might find that they're going to get enough followers that they could eventually have
monetize it.
And then that money can go into their fund to do their restaurant.
Here's what's so funny too. Dominica said, when we go out to dinner now, we actually talk about the prior restaurants. We're doing, the conversation has improved. Mm. She was in, before it was just a nice time out. She was, now we talk about, what do you think about this crab ravioli compared to that place we were 3 months ago? And the conversation is much more evolved. They said they're eating slower. They're enjoying the food more.
Oh,
it's less transactional. It's more immersive.
Mm.
The end effect is this. Don't try to discipline yourself out of the dopamine hit. Mm. In fact, do the reverse. How can we stretch the dopamine? How can we get a little more of that natural drug into our brain? And that's what she did in this case.
I love it. I love it. And then, and I think we can do that in our businesses as well, because I feel like when we're getting the rush of growing our businesses, we sometimes get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. And, you know, and you can take the profit first model and cheat really easy. You're just like, totally. I want that money. So I'm going to steal it from this other space and start putting it in here. Right. And I think that we need to be better at being in the moment. So like my firm just closed one of its second largest contract in company history. And it was like, okay, this is awesome. And instead of going, okay, what's the next deal? We're spending the next, like the last week and this week of celebrating the kickoff, celebrating how we're going to engage with these people and celebrating all of the things it means to have this new partner in the firm, right? Instead of going, yeah, that was a great shot in the arm. We need another one. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of going kind of with what you're talking about is like, hey, listen, be in the moment, find ways to appreciate the steps it takes to be successful, not just, hey, yeah, that's just one step of the many to get to the top of Mount Everest.
The common reframe I hear from people, entrepreneurs, individuals, and the combined is it's all about making more. I got to get more sales, man. I need to make more income because then I'll be free. And so we now have this little rhyme. It ain't about what you make. It's about what you take. And what I'm saying is income in your personal life or in your business is simply the starting point. But a portion of that can be preserved and apportioned out to different aspects. What most of us do is we see a rise in income and we say, oh, here's my new life standard. And that money is immediately depleted. But that new life standard becomes a standard. And now, should we ever have a decline in income or something, we are compromised. Most people are living check by check. We're just getting by. Mm-hmm. So what we do is by allocating these money out to different accounts, we put a gap between our income and our full spend. It controls our spend. And income varies. People lose jobs. Businesses go out of business. People get sick. Things will transition. So in this process, we start building this buffer. But again, we never compromise the dopamine. If we start doing that and we force willpower, it's going to collapse. And just like any other addiction, when we go into the collapse, we over binge. So I've was studying other deployments of kind of financial, personal finances, where people struggle. And he said, why did you struggle? They said, I was able to do it for 3 months. And I was like, screw it. I'm going out to dinner every night now. I deserve this. Or I'm exhausted. I can't keep it up. And it goes so far to the other extreme. They really compromise themselves. So get the dopamine all the time.
And just like that, mic drop. Now, if you're like me, you probably wanted to keep that combo going for another hour. But here's the thing. Mike didn't just give us a framework for personal finance. He gave us a permission slip. Permission to stop pretending that your business and your personal life are two separate bank accounts floating in different universes. Let's be real. Your marketing, your growth, even your sense of purpose, none of it works long-term if your finances are a dumpster fire behind the scenes. Being profit-first minded isn't just about padding your pockets. It's about creating space to take smarter decisions. show up more consistently, and actually enjoy the business you've built. If you don't believe me, ask yourself this. How magnetic do you really think your marketing is when you're operating from panic? When you're stealing from your own future just to look successful today? Yeah, that's what I thought. Profit creates power. It gives you the leverage. And the second you treat your business like it owes you, like it exists to fund your lifestyle instead of validate your hustle, that's when things change.
Here's a buzzworthy insight.
You don't need more clients to be profitable. You need more discipline with the clients you already have. And that discipline starts by treating your money like a message. Every dollar you keep, every bucket you create, every account you name with intention, it's all part of the brand story you're living and telling. So here's the next step. If you're ready to align your marketing with the kind of business that actually keeps its profit, let's talk. I open a handful of discovery calls every month to help business owners like you build a marketing plan around sustainable growth, not burnout, not financial chaos, real buzzworthy momentum. So do yourself a favor and grab one of the few slots I have available by visiting buzzworthy.marketing/podcast or click the link in the show notes. And remember, my friends, being boring is a choice. So stay buzzworthy.